Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Julio Diaz joins us every Friday to give us a preview of the movies that come out, last night and this weekend, of course. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Wuthering Heights, the first time it's been made a movie of, right?
Yeah, not some kind of obscure, you know, I think it was some kind of short story that was in an English text some point or something.
Yeah, it's like
that.
In the back of some sci-fi, you know, brochure in the 50s or something, I think.
Yeah, no, of course, obviously, this is an adaptation of the Emily Bronte novel, one of the most famous, probably one of the most famous works in the English language. Very controversial adaptation, as you may have heard. This is starring Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi. It is adapted by Emerald Fennell, who was the filmmaker behind Promising Young Woman and Saltburn, which I know Saltburn was a controversial film, too. I liked Saltburn. I know some people didn't. Very mixed reviews on this, which kind of goes hand in hand with it being a controversial adaptation. The big thing that I have heard about this one and the reason that it's so controversial is that Wuthering Heights is known for being a very passionate novel, but it's not a very explicit novel.
Right.
In fact, I believe Margot Robbie said something along the lines of, "There's not really a whole lot of kissing in the novel, and we're kissing all the time in this movie." I think kissing may be a little bit of a euphemism there.
For other activities, gotcha.
Yeah. So it is, there is kind of a general perception here that this is a rather, and I've seen this word used, smutty version of Wuthering Heights.
So this is the Harlequin romance version of Wuthering Heights you've always wanted to watch.
If that's your thing, then yeah, absolutely.
Got it.
At any rate, the Rotten Tomatoes rating is sitting at 65, which is not bad. It's in the positive range. In fact, all the films this week are in the positive range, but this is the lowest among the positive rated films this week.
Gotcha. Good luck, have fun, don't die. What's this?
Starring Sam Rockwell and the return of Gore Verbinski, who was quite a popular filmmaker for a little while there. Most notably for the first Pirates of the Caribbean film, but also things like Rango, and I believe he did the first version of The Ring, if I remember correctly. Hasn't made a film in a while. I know him because he came up directing punk rock music videos in the 90s.
Oh.
Videos for the likes of Bad Religion and bands like that. But this is a comedy starring Sam Rockwell, who plays a man who claims to be from the future, and he takes the denizens of a diner hostage in the hopes of finding people to help him save the world.
Oh, well, I mean, we've seen that a bunch of times, just like Wuthering Heights, right? That old trope?
Yeah, exactly. pretty solid reviews on this, 85% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sounds interesting. Anyway, Crime 101?
Another one with pretty solid reviews. This is starring Chris Hemsworth as a man who is planning a heist. He falls in with this disgruntled insurance agent played by Halle Berry, and they're being pursued by a detective played by Mark Ruffalo. As things get closer, they kind of each start questioning their motivations, and we get to watch what happens, basically. Again, in the running in the 80% range on Rotten
Wow,
Tomatoes.
That's a good movie's coming out for early, or I guess mid-March, really. Cold Storage?
This one sounds like a lot of fun to me, too. This is starring Joe Keery from Stranger Things. He plays an employee. There's a couple of employees at this self-storage place that is built on the shell of an old army facility. And something has been stored underneath the facility that springs to life. It's a parasitic fungus, and they have to fight it. So, and then of course they get help from this grizzled army vet who comes in. Who, of course, when you think of grizzled old, who do you think of?
Well, it depends on how old, but what do you got?
Liam Neeson. It's Liam Neeson.
Oh, okay. All right.
but great reviews on this as well. 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'd say grizzled at birth for Liam Neeson. I mean, he was born that way. So, and finally, GOAT. I assume that's the acronym for greatest of all time. And this is not an actual goat story.
Here's the thing. It's both.
Ah.
So it's an animated film, and it is about a young goat, an actual goat, who wants to be a sports star. He's joins this famous sports team, and it's a fictional sport in this movie. So I can't remember what I think it's called, Roarball. It's not, you know, like an actual sport that we all know. But the rest of the team disdains him because he's short and he's, you know, he doesn't seem like he's the biggest specimen, but he's out to prove that he can be, that's right, the goat. Decent reviews on this as well, 79% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. So bunch of the movies, most of them are pretty good. And also, still, Pensacon is upcoming very, very, very soon. And it'll be the, 13th anniversary?
1 week from today, the doors open. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, head to Pensacon.com. Get those tickets now and, you know, get your photo ops booked and get ready to meet all of your favorite celebrities and come out and enjoy the panels and the gaming and the film festival and the live entertainment. And there's, you know, going to be plenty to do all weekend long. So please come out and join us. You will have a good time, I promise.
A fantastic time will be had by all. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard on Saturdays at 4 o'clock. I don't think I mentioned this at the beginning like I normally do. He's also the host and founder of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. They talk about movies and get together and watch them. Follow them on Facebook to find out more. Julio, as always, thanks for the time. We'll see you next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free and even delay-free right now. I am so proud of everyone so far this morning. Don't ruin it. I-10, I-110, everything is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Why does Brother Andrew dislike the Winter Olympics? Find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Beads are fun.
Laissez les bon temps rouler.
Moon pies too. Traffic, not so much. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the British phrase, His Majesty's Government, in the United Kingdom as UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer's administration has been actively replacing the historical reference with the new non-gendered and non-royal referencing UK government. Obviously, this is a long overdue change for two very simple reasons. First, anytime we can degender something as significant as the monarchy, the better off we'll all be. And it's not lost on us that nobody tried to do this during the 70 years of Queen Elizabeth's reign, and rightfully so. To degender the monarchy under a queen would have been demeaning the importance of having a female leader of the UK. But now that King Charles has taken the throne, it's perfectly appropriate to take away the gender reference of His Majesty's government. As Precept 14 of the Holy Guidelines of Modern Gender Anarchy reminds us, anything which diminishes women is bad, but anything which diminishes men is good. Down with the patriarchy. Amen? Amen. In addition to degendering the monarchy this way, we also love that now the UK is finally in a good position to prepare itself for its first transgender monarch. Obviously, there will come a time when a person identified prince at birth will discover she is actually a princess and eventually wind up on this throne as the first trans queen. Or perhaps the eldest will be identified a princess at birth but realize he is actually a prince and become the first trans king. But of course, it's entirely possible a future monarch may identify as non-binary, in which case we'll need entirely new terms for they-them. Perhaps Qing, or Keen, or the super fiercest one. But in any case, by simply degendering the reference entirely, the linguistic barricades against inclusion of monarchs on the spectrum of fluidity have already been stormed. But second, the monarchy itself is being low-key de-emphasized. The entire concept of royalty, birth order, special people entitled to political power, wealth, and even honorary status is, of course, entirely incompatible with our principles of equality uber alles. The real reason the Conservatives in England are upset with the Labour Party over this move is because they perceive it to be aimed in the direction of ditching the monarchy entirely. It's bad enough that American conservatives believe some people are better than others because of their economic contributions or their adherence to anachronistic sexual codes, but in Great Britain, some people are better than others just by virtue of blood and birth. And what could be more offensive to our anti-racist principles than special status literally entitled by blood and birth? So away with his and hers monarchies. Down with calling someone a prince or a princess until they're able to tell us what they are. Be gone, ye, with restrictive gender binary titles such as king and queen, or duke and duchess, or earl and countess, or baron and baroness, or marquis and marchioness. And let us finally eliminate the concept of royalty itself and usher in a new age of gender-fluid, non-binary equality for all people kind, peasant persons and royal persons alike. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Speaking of repersoning and degendering language, our second loss of term this week is gunman. When used for someone who kills multiple people with a firearm under certain specific circumstances. In this case, it was a terrible event, which prompted the change, a mass killing at Tumbler Ridge Secondary School in Canada, 8 victims killed plus the shooter and 25 others wounded. What brought this case before the official Board of Language Review, however, is the fact that the shooter was transgender. 18-year-old Jesse Van Roostelaar was identified male at birth, but had transitioned to female around the age of 12. Now, normally we wouldn't talk about something like this because just mentioning the gender identity of a trans person in connection with a mass shooting reinforces the mistaken notion that non-standard gender identity is some sort of mental health problem which makes those folks more violent or dangerous. And of course, as staunch advocates of all people of the holy acronym string, we reject this bigoted belief, which is why we don't like to talk about cases that involve transgender murderers at all. However, in this particular incident, we can learn something important about language and the importance of gender inclusion, even when we talk about those who murder children. There was some real language leadership on this issue from Royal Canadian Mounted Police Staff Sergeant Chris Clark, who correctly decided to honor the gender identity of the deceased shooter by inventing a gender-neutral descriptor for that person.
That includes the deceased gun person.
Okay. And then separately, do you know the gun person's relationship to...
He referred to them as a gun person, and that is such an elegant solution to the problem instead of gunman. Now, we know some of you had raised the question, well, if Jesse identified publicly as female, why wouldn't you refer to her as the gun woman instead of using the gender non-specific term gun person? But do I again need to remind you of the basic elements of your wokeism? If a term makes women look bad, we don't use it. If a similar term makes men look bad, that's fine. So in this case, we recognize that the Mountie is really in a bind. Sergeant Clark doesn't want to misgender the killer by calling her a gunman, but he also doesn't want to disparage women linguistically by calling her a gunwoman. So that's why we really love the choice to use gun person instead of either of the others. Of course, we also want to recognize the immediate verbal compliance of the interviewer who internalized the clearly superior new word as quickly as Clark used it. And worth noting, we still recommend using the term gunman in most shootings for the simple reason that most of them are committed by men, so there's no issue with using a word that carries negative implications for males. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to talk about the serious problems with the Winter Olympics. First, as one of the great organizational leaders in woke ideology, we really celebrate the Associated Press for writing an article exposing the blatant racism of the Games. As they noted, across countries, the most common feature of the Winter Olympians is the incredibly high number of them who are white. Although there are a few Asian athletes, particularly in skating and snowboarding, there are almost none who are Hispanic or African. This is bad. Really bad, and it reveals the discrimination and disinclusion at the heart of snow and ice sports. The mere six members of the Jamaican team, for instance, five bobsledders and one skier, illustrate the absurdly low number of black athletes competing in Milano Cortina. As the AP explains, this is largely a matter of culture, access, and money, since ice and snow sports tend to be very expensive, thus excluding underprivileged minorities and also immigrants in majority white countries like Sweden and Norway, even though they have substantial non-white immigrant populations. The Winter Games are literally the definition of sports of privilege. Therefore, the AP recommends that more inclusive measures be taken so that athletes of color, their term, can be represented in future Winter Games. On a side note, we really enjoy the fact that the new acronym here will be AOC, since whether we're talking about the amazingly talented Congresswoman from New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or the shameful lack of athletes of color in the Winter Olympics, we always want more AOC. But there is another much more obvious problem with the Winter Olympics. The racism is not just in the faces of the athletes, it's in the background of the games themselves. Just consider for a moment, what is the most prevalent color at the Winter Games? White! Snow is white. Ice is white. And, of course, the athletes are white. Everything about the games is blanketed with several inches of systemic racism. And it's right out in the open, everywhere you look. The entire palette of the Olympic Games screams white supremacy. So maybe the real reason we don't have more AOCs, of either kind, is because they feel uncomfortable around so much white snow and ice. And there's simply no reason to not fix this problem. Obviously, dye can be added to water to make the snow and ice it forms be of different colors. So let's show a little inclusion in the tableau of the Winter Games and use tinting to include other races. We can start by having snow be black, or perhaps brown, or yellow. What could be more delightful than a giant slalom course filled with yellow snow? Yes, yellow snow and yellow ice, that's the anti-racist solution we have been looking for. There is, sadly, yet another problem with the Winter Olympics. Far too many of the sports take place on ice. And as we all know, ever since the re-election of President You-Know-Who, we are adamantly, vehemently, vocally, and ferociously anti-ice. Now, solving this problem of ice everywhere at the Olympics really isn't that hard. All it calls for is a little name change. So from now on, instead of referring to ice skating, we shall just call it frozen water skating. Ice dancing can be frozen water dancing. Ice hockey can be frozen water hockey. You get the picture. And every once in a while, for a little variety, you can say, let's say, curling is a sport played on a long sheet of sub-zero H2O. Simple. So we are calling on the IOC and the broadcasters at NBC to simply begin using the terms frozen water or sub-zero water instead of the horrible and triggering term ice. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Coated in several inches of white supremacy culture.
Oh, my gosh.
Pick and test traffic on the whatever time it is.
Yellow snow, that's right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you still. We're running accident-free and delay-free. There's nothing to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're needing that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection. And the way they, it's not just that they have cars. It's not just that you can go drive really good quality barely used cars of all different kinds, you know, 300 on the lot, and you can compare them side by side very easily and only have to meet one salesperson. You barely have to meet them if you want to. It's that they do everything the way you wish everybody would do it. They know you don't like buying a car, especially a used car. They know all the things that people usually do that make you feel uncomfortable, awkward, or icky, or whatever, and they just don't do that stuff. They try to be the alternative. They try to be the way it should be done so that you want to come back instead of wanting to never, ever, ever see these people again. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Department of Homeland Security could be impacted by this continued stalemate between Republican and Democrat lawmakers over immigration reforms. Both sides failing so far to reach an agreement over the future of ICE. They've got until the end of the day. Or there's
frozen water.
Another partial shutdown. That's right. They're against frozen water.
There you go.
Why? Yeah. It keeps our lemonade nice and cold.
They're dear friends,
right? Yeah. Most government offices will be closed on Monday to mark President's Day. A lot of stores will be open, and we'll be open.
There you go. So, loving it. Valentine's Day is tomorrow, so if you have not prepared already, go act, right?
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
I wasn't. No, not even a little bit. That. Also, do it safely, because today is Friday the 13th. So if that's a thing in your world, then be aware. Be very, very aware. We're going to have the wrap coming up next with Craig Heinzman and Josh Newby. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Friday the 13th, day 13 of the search for Nancy Guthrie. The FBI releasing a suspect description from the Nest Cam images of an armed masked man on her porch, 5'9" or 10", average build, wearing a backpack sold only at Walmart. The Pima County Sheriff controlling DNA testing on a suspect glove found in her home.
Two sources telling Fox that the FBI wanted to send physical evidence to its national crime lab in Quantico, Virginia, but the sheriff insisted on processing that evidence at a lab that the sheriff's department is in control of.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt. Homeland Security likely to go into government shutdown after a Senate funding vote failed over ICE reforms that Democrats demanded, then voted down. Inflation cooled more than expected last month. The CPI for January just 0.2%, 2.4 for the year. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 56 degrees. It is cloudy here across the area. We'll get to our forecast, full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. The Pensacola City Council yesterday hearing from residents demanding the city cancel its contract with Flock over privacy concerns. Councilman Casey Jones said he thinks there's a bit of misinformation about the system, and he asked the new police chief to get him a report on that.
I was wondering if at some point we could soon get maybe a report on the Flock system and what we've been using that for, and you know, maybe some specifics about what it is, because I do think there's I know you guys are getting the word out, because I've had people come ask me questions about it recently, and I think it'd be good to get the information out there, because I think there's some misinformation out there.
And Jones said the city didn't have a whole lot of public discussion when the council voted to approve the Flock cameras. Speakers detailed nationwide privacy violations, including tracking women seeking abortions, surveilling political protesters, and agencies reportedly using slurs when searching the system. James Gibson said Flock processes about 20 billion plate reads per month. No council members defended the system during the public comment section of last night's meeting. Well, speaking of the Pensacola City Council, they did approve the new police chief, Eric Winstrom. He's coming from Grand Rapids, Michigan. He served there for 2 years as the chief. He'll start here March 2nd. Winstrom has a total of more than 20 years of law enforcement experience, including organizing security for large events. And he says one of his top priorities will be meeting the community. Another is improving officer recruitment and retention. Tomorrow's the big Mardi Gras parade, and there's a modified route this year due to the Palafox construction project. PPD's Mike Wood says there's one parade tonight and then another one tomorrow night. The route will go south on Palafox. Then on right, left on Garden, right on Jefferson.
So this is the change, and it went smoothly for the MLK parade. There were no issues, and we don't anticipate any on this one. The big thing is to get in there early, find you a good place to park, and get you a good spot on the parade route. And then after it's over with, we'll get you out of there just as fast as we can.
And Wood does say vehicles left on Jefferson before the parade will be towed for security reasons. The department has increased their security since the New Orleans incident on New Year's Eve. Santa Rosa County Commissioners approved final payments this week for property acquired through eminent domain for Eglin Air Force Base's Regional Intelligent Ballistic System Project. The stipulated final judgment covers compensation for the Jernigan and Broxson parcels. The payments were for narrow strips of remaining property needed for that project. It is 8:35. News Radio 92.3. Right now, 56 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. Let's check in with John Pickens. Get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident and delay free. I'm seeing nothing that's going to slow you down this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up quickly around 70 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. For Saturday, mostly cloudy skies, small 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, going to be looking at the clouds, high near 69 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 64. For Sunday, we will have those rain showers moving through the morning and early afternoon hours, 100% chance of rain, high near 68. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 55. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 56 degrees, cloudy skies right now. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. And your money now this hour. Taking a look at our opening numbers on Wall Street today. Markets are down a bit. The Dow is down about 145 and a quarter points, about 0.3% at 49,299.60. S&P 500 down a fraction of a percent at 6,830.57. And the NASDAQ is down about a quarter percent at 22,545. That 10-year bond rate down a bit, 4.06% today. Gold prices are up 75.80 at $5,024.20. Silver's up $2.95 at $78.63. Bitcoin is up just under $2,000 this morning. Current price sitting at $67,418.20. And consumer prices rose less than expected for January. The Labor Department reported the Consumer Price Index showed the core CPI, excluding food and energy, rose 0.3% for the month. Meanwhile, the monthly figure for the headline inflation put the annual rate at 2.4%. Amazon's canceled their planned partnership between its Ring doorbell cameras and Flock, a law enforcement surveillance tech company. This report from Monica Nelson.
The plan would have allowed Ring customers to share doorbell video with police through a program called Community Requests. A similar program unrelated to Flock is called Search Party, which would let users share video with others. It was advertised during the Super Bowl as being a way to find lost dogs, but it has drawn criticism from privacy advocates who say the tech could be used to track people. Amazon said the Flock partnership was scrapped because it would take more time and resources than initially anticipated. I'm Monica Nelson.
Thank you very much, Monica. Senate Democrats have rejected a House-passed bill to fund the Department of Homeland Security. The motion failed to advance 54-47 yesterday. Democrats say it didn't go far enough to reform immigration enforcement operations. This means funding for the TSA, FEMA, the Coast Guard will all lapse at midnight unless further action comes from Congress today. 8:38, your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, hop, the hibbit, the hibbit, hip, hip, hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what, wrap up the circle thing, come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
It's a wrap. It's a chance to talk with some friends about the news of the week. In this case, we've got two very high-level recidivists for this particular crime, which is Craig Heinzman is here and Josh Newby. In fact, if I look at my sheet here, I think I have Josh. This is your 30th time on the wrap.
Wow. Yeah,
Josh is the veteran.
He's many times, yeah. And, well, Craig, you're at 26.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
You don't look a day over 50, Craig.
I appreciate that.
All right. Craig is the community outreach pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church. Josh is the executive director at the Council on Aging West Florida. Let's start there for a second, Josh, because you and I were having a conversation before we got started. Just you have a perspective that I haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
The county has been taking a lot of heat from people who use paratransit, and because they have taken the paratransit operation in-house under the flex transit concept, those people keep showing up at the county commission meeting complaining that the ITL was great. Flex transit is terrible. It's not doing the job properly. The county says, no, it's really doing fine, but we're still going to try to work with you to make it better. Do your seniors use paratransit?
They do.
Are they transportation disabled? I don't know what the categories are that apply to them.
They are transportation disabled. They use paratransit, et cetera, et cetera. And I was telling you before we went on air, we have since largely ceased our operations with ITL and paratransit and actually gone with Z-Trip here locally.
Okay.
We find
Z-Trip is like an Uber-ish?
Very similar.
Okay.
Yes.
They have para ability?
They do.
Oh,
they do.
Know that.
That we find them to be more reliable, more dependable, more schedule-oriented. The example I always use under the older system is if you had a doctor's appointment at 9 a.m., you might get picked up from your house at 6 a.m., and you might not return to your house until 6 p.m.
Wow.
It's that bad.
Well, that's what they're saying about flex transit is like that. But you're saying even ITL was like that.
I believe ITL was like that, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So why are they... I mean, I haven't talked to Carolyn. She's literally a neighbor of mine. But, like, why are they so emphatic that ITL is, like, the second coming and everything else is terrible?
ITL was around for a long time. Their drivers had very strong relationships with the people that they picked up. They were like a second family because these people depend on them so much day in and day out. But the scheduling and dependability left a lot to be desired.
Okay, so the reliability of the service is poor, but the relationships and the attachment to a thing you know
I think so.
That you need real bad is high. Okay, well, that's interesting. Craig, I don't know, Marcus Point, do you guys use any of this stuff or any of your...
We have folks that use it to get to the services on Sunday, but we don't... And we actually, if somebody needs transportation from the services, we will sometimes supply that depending on the need. But we normally just do like Uber.
Yeah,
and that kind of stuff.
Honestly,
easier to work with. Simple.
Make sure that you control the trip.
Yeah,
I learned that lesson the hard way.
The thing about the flex transit that I originally thought was going to be great, but turns out to be a little bit more functionally understandable, but not as useful, is that you book it the day in advance. You know, it's not an Uber. It's not you just call it when you need it. It's you book it a day in advance, which also creates problems because. How do you know what time you're going to get done at the doctor's office the next day? You might get done at 10. You might get done at 2.
Right.
Well, you got a plan for being there till what, 3? And then it's time wasted and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think those are, anyway, some of the issues. All right. The thing that I actually wanted to ask you both about, because I know you both disagree with me about this. Maybe it's not. I thought it was on the TV. But the Olympic, not the Olympic, the Super Bowl.
We talk Olympics too.
We'll get both of them in there. I found the Bad Bunny show kind of boring. I got what it was trying to do, and I kind of liked some of the creative elements, but it was kind of small scale to me. It was like watching a Broadway musical instead of watching a Super Bowl show, and so the flash wasn't there. I was equally disappointed in the other one because I'm not a country music fan, but I've said that many times. But you guys both liked the Bad Bunny show, correct?
I actually did. Now, I'm not endorsing any of the content. I'm just telling you. But artistically, number one, there was a wedding, and it's a 60-year-old tradition
the I don't know how long the actual halftime show has been going on like this, but I will say it's very hard to do something that's not been done before.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And when I saw the wedding pop up, I'm like, those people don't look like actors. Like, that looks right. Like it's real.
Yeah. Right.
And then I was like, there's no way that's real. And when I heard it was real, I was like, all right. My creative different. Side of me and the plant people, and I get everyone's going to be that for Halloween. That's my wife's thing. She's like,
she's gonna be
everyone's
going to
be a plant person for Halloween. Like, everyone was Left Shark. You know, we all right. remember Left Shark.
Who could forget?
Yeah.
If you don't know what he's talking about, the ferns in the, oh, I didn't mean that part, but I mean, yes, that part, but also the ferns in the Super Bowl halftime show were all played by dancers because of the limitations on putting equipment on the field, but you can put dancers on the field dressed up as plants,
right?
Which is what they did.
Yes, which is now apparently a meme. But, I thought, yes, I actually like the Broadway-esque style of things, and that it was showing Puerto Rican culture.
Sure.
If you've ever been over there, it's like, okay. And I didn't have any problems with it being the halftime show from the beginning of it. I know a lot of people did.
The Spanish didn't bother you?
I mean, I didn't understand a single lick of it.
There you go. Me too.
And it seemed like mumble Spanish to me, which maybe is the way that maybe
he sings.
I'm like, okay, cool. But I thought the artistry of it. I like the artistry of it. I like the creativity that happened there. I like that you had, A-list celebrities at a little party. They didn't do anything.
Right.
You're like
they're just in the background dancing. Pedro Pascal and Jessica
Alba.
And maybe Cardi B. It's apparently a question.
Oh, is there a question?
No, because there was a bet on it. One of these betting sites.
Okay.
You can bet on who's going to be.
It's not betting. It's predictive marketplace.
Whatever. Anyway, do people do it compulsively? Anyway,
yes.
So apparently there's some question about whether they're paying off for the Cardi B one, I guess. So Josh, actually, hold on for a second, Josh. I've got traffic on the files. John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents or delays this morning. Good job so far. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Easy. All right. Josh?
Yeah, I loved it. I really did. And I was...
What a surprise. A liberal Democrat loved the halftime.
No, I know that's a token opinion, but I really did. I was prepared to...
Tell us how you feel about ice dancing. I'm not
a big Bad Bunny fan, okay? I thought that he did Despacito. No, that's Daddy Yankee, apparently.
I wouldn't have known the difference.
Although I like that Gasolina...
He did a little Gasolina sample.
Anyway, I thought it was the best halftime show since Lady Gaga 10 years ago. Ironic, of course, because she was
in this halftime show. You didn't like Kendrick Lamar?
Are you sure
you're a liberal?
I liked it, but I didn't love it as much as I loved Lady Gaga's and Bad Bunny's. I don't know. I didn't understand a word of it. I do wish it was subtitled. I think he would have been
I wish they'd have done subtitles too.
I think they didn't do that on purpose, though. If I'm looking at it, and we were talking about that.
The visual
in the house,
of it?
Now we're accentuating the fact that it's in Spanish and you can't understand it. So I don't know if they did it on purpose.
I'll be the old white guy in the room to say, I kind of wish a lot of halftime shows came with subtitles. Even the ones in English.
Kendrick's last year.
Any of them, really.
I will say that I what stood out to me that has never stood out to me before in a halftime show is just, like, the cinematography. Mm-hmm. The colors were vibrant. The camera movement was dynamic. The staging was very good. And I take your point about it being a Broadway show, but I agree with Craig. I sort of liked that aspect of it.
I go to Broadway shows. What can I say?
It's not a, they used to have...
Okay, but I'm gonna completely ruin you here. You ready for this?
They used to have a marching band.
I want you to... I want to put everything Josh just said in the context of he told me in the break that he really thinks the Olympics should consider colorizing the snow and ice because it'll look more interesting.
How is this not a good idea? I've thought this since I'm a child. And when I'm a man, I put away childish things.
The five rings of color, you can have that? Is that what you're saying?
Why not?
The downhill can be red ice.
It's such a lost opportunity to make it more aesthetically dynamic.
I think that the white snow allows for people to really stand out against the snow.
The white people to stand out against
the
white
snow. Listen,
I'm
saying they're wearing clothes like that are all colorful.
They are wearing clothes, Craig.
nobody's up there skiing naked,
That's a whole different like level.
Okay, since I've forced us to be onto the Olympics, did either of you watch the opening ceremony?
I watched a little bit of it.
The walking was long.
Yeah. The walking was long.
Oh, you can't watch the march of athletes.
Oh my god,
that's the hugest waste of time.
No. The pageantry of the opening, and then after the march of athletes happens, then you can watch the close for about 10 minutes or whatever. That's the cool stuff. That's the show. The rest of that stuff is completely boring.
You didn't see the foil wrap nuggets?
I don't even know what you're
talking
about.
That's the people with carrying the signs. They were in these like huge foil-looking parkas.
No.
Like, that's a chicken.
No, that's terrible. Oh, the, I mean, you can make fun of some of the the Canadian ones, they look like bells.
Oh,
or
no, that was the, like, the whatever, the people that walk, the first people that walk in with a sign.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, we're off the Olympics. You guys didn't watch it. That's fine. now we could talk about real things. Voter ID, big conversation happening right now. It's passed the House. We're waiting to see. You can have two arguments. Argument number one is it's not constitutional for the federal government to be imposing a voting regulation. I actually think that's kind of a weak argument. But number two is it adversely affects, you know, people tend to vote Democrat for whatever reason. But what do you think? I mean, is there any reason not to require everybody to produce an ID to prove that you're a citizen before you vote? Craig?
I honestly, I have no problem with voter ID.
Same here.
I've never had a problem with voter ID. The burden it presents.
But you are sure you vote Democrat.
Not, I cannot
there
remember the last time I voted Republican.
I think there are common sense things that both people can.
There are.
That both
it's like 80% support,
should.
Right?
We should be able to say this is a non-starter. Like everyone, it happens in countries all over Europe. They require you to be a citizen voting with and have the proof of that citizenship when you come up. That's
I will say that I think a productive and good faith step to this would be to proactively provide every citizen of voting age with a picture ID.
Right. Totally agree.
It seems like with technology, this is very easy. Make it free. Make it, you know, you upload your picture online. There's some sort of data verification. They mail it to you.
Right.
I understand the typical Democratic argument that there are like deserts that exist in urban and minority communities where it's difficult to get a ride, to go and wait in line and take hours off of work in order to just get an ID.
Cost,
just mail the people their ID.
Yeah, cost, transportation, access to
which
documents,
all
of that.
Which can all be taken care of at the state level if you want people, you know, to vote. I mean, we have to supply those people the ability to do so. If we say, hey, we're going to make sure everyone has the voter ID because we're going to secure the elections or whatever – cool.
Yeah.
Just make sure everyone has the opportunity to get that.
You completely defang the objection.
Correct.
When you offer to provide free ID to anyone who wants it.
Right.
You know, most of us don't need it because we have driver's licenses. But for anybody who doesn't have a driver's license or who can't afford it or for whatever reason.
Right.
I mean, we already provide free licenses. Scott Lunster, I was talking with him, tax
correct.
Collector, that we provide a lot of free IDs, state IDs to people, homeless people, mm-hmm. people who need them for benefits, all kinds of stuff. There, it's such a small margin
yes.
of additional people that we would need to pay, essentially, for them to have IDs that we might as well just make it for everybody.
Correct.
And you need IDs for so many things. Why is this the one thing that you don't have to actually prove who you are for?
It's now, probably a larger margin than voter fraud, quite frankly, but still worth it just to
right.
quiet arguments on both sides.
Right. And
no, I agree. It's a simple solution that eliminates the conversation, the dumb conversations.
Yeah. Right.
Just, you know.
And I have said, I understand that there's, you know, to me, there are probably a very small number of people who, frankly, a very small number of people who commit voter fraud. I think that that's way overblown. My side tends to believe that voter fraud is everywhere under every couch cushion, whatever. And I think,
especially in Georgia,
your grandma,
right. Yeah. Which has been fueled by this nonsense narrative by Trump that he keeps claiming that's not true anyway. But okay, there's some voter fraud and I don't want anybody to commit voter fraud, but I also don't want anybody who wants to vote to be thwarted in voting.
Right.
The whole idea, even though I'm a fan of, you know, basic qualifications tests, that's not the law right now, and I understand that. I want anybody who wants to vote to be able to get to vote. And if getting an ID is the barrier, I just don't want it to be a barrier.
What about a federal holiday?
Oh, you mean changing the one we vote?
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yes,
Make it a two-day voting and make at least one of those days a weekend, like a Friday and a Saturday or a Sunday and a Monday. Allow voting to happen over at least 2 days in November. Absolutely. Easy. And make it a federal holiday,
right.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
I agree.
I actually agree with that because I think that's – you eliminate – a lot
take
of excuses.
Away the problems.
Take away
right.
the problems.
Yes.
People should. It shouldn't.
Lower the
it barrier. Should be as easy as possible.
Yep.
Because again, if my trade-off is protecting people in their right to vote means I allow a little bit more fraud. Okay,
right.
That's kind of your like innocent and not innocent when it comes.
Right.
You know, guilty and not guilty when it comes to the law. I will take getting one person who wants to vote the chance to vote, even if that means I get 10 fraudulent votes. I know mathematically that doesn't add up, but I would much rather have the belief that we're not stopping a citizen from voting who wants to vote.
Right.
That's that's a value to me.
I agree.
You know, high priority value.
As long as you secure the other side.
We're right.
That's
we're going to do both. But, you know, if I have to make the trade-off, I make the same trade-off I make when it comes to courts. You know, I'm willing to take a few guilty people, don't get convicted, right, in order to protect any innocent people from never getting convicted as much as I possibly can. That's, to me, that's the trade-off. All right, so we're in agreement about that. Boring show so far. it happens. Josh, you want to argue about property taxes? You had a salty hot take
right
on me.
You, oh my God. Okay, so yesterday
can I
was...
let me give you my version and then we'll
no,
give you...
you don't. No, I'm kidding. Right. Go for it.
So my view is property taxes are unjust because you shouldn't have to rent your property from the government.
Okay, and my take is that you wouldn't have a claim to that government if the government you wouldn't have a claim to that property if the government didn't enforce your claim.
Yeah, the government pre-exists me. It's government land, and they're kind enough to, you know, let me use it.
It's not government land. It's not government land. I understand.
You said that when you filled in.
It was no, according to Billie Eilish. It's not.
You would not. That was stupid. You would not have.
All land is stolen land.
All land is stolen. You would not have a claim to retain the rights of your property if you could not call the police if someone threatened that.
So the theory you're offering is that because the government protects my property, they're entitled to some share of me paying them for that protection.
Absolutely.
Even if you're retired? Even if you're like...
I don't care if you're retired.
Well, Josh doesn't... Yeah, it doesn't matter. Everybody should have to pay the government for protecting their land.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Why do you think taxes...
Why
should... Well, I wonder if you say... There's a difference between, for me, taxes and fees. You pay a fee for service, but you're paying a tax to the government. And I think if you're saying, hey, if you want to have these things... And I think we have to look at it. We're going to talk about property tax for the next year easy. We got to come up with a solution because if we don't,
which we nobody has yet, I mean,
it's gonna be bad. I mean, right, like,
if it passes.
Hey, we're just gonna get rid of it all. Okay,
but I
want
to come
stuff?
Back
That'd
to this,
great.
Like the basic justification question in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Doing good this morning. No accidents or delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, Josh. So,
you know, let me
Does the government provide me the land, or do I get to own the land?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Okay, so who is the original owner of the land? Is it government?
The government.
Okay, so which is ultimately who?
The amorphous.
They're a thing? The government's a thing now?
The
government's
government
not constituted
of
people
of,
in their...
Absolutely, the government's a collection of people that we voted to rule over us.
And we rent our land from them at the cost of paying them for the court protection
I don't
it.
Like this use of rent. I don't think that's fair.
What happens if I don't pay the rent?
You own your house. You own the land.
What if I don't pay the rent?
If you don't pay the rent, then you don't.
They take it.
They
3 years
it.
And they take it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So then,
so
then you're owning it from the government.
No, you are... I'm getting too emotional to speak reasonably here.
I love it.
You are a derelict in your duty of contributing to a society in which personal property rights are observed and enforced, and thus you don't get to participate then in that collective society.
You don't get the benefit of owning land
Correct.
Because you didn't pay your rent.
So, yes. so then you now
your
have
rent.
To be dependent upon the government to provide for you because you're
What if
homeless?
I don't want the government to defend my claim?
Then go live with Doug Underhill out.
He does not take that view. That's funny, though. Okay, so
but
the, secondary
if that's
question.
That's true, then no matter where you live in the government, in the United States, that land is the government, so you can't live anywhere. Because
what about the, you know, so in on your view, I'm guessing that the person with a $3 million home should pay 30 times more, well, let's say, you know,
I mean,
10 times
a
more than the person
there,
with a $300,000 home because they get protection for more. There's more stuff that the government is protecting.
That's right. I agree. And I will say, I put my money where my mouth is. I don't take a homestead exemption.
You don't even take one?
Nope.
So you just throw money into the giant pot.
That's
of,
how much I'm dead serious right now. And you know,
okay.
I recently
What? I will at least say I respect that.
I don't take a homestead.
I don't think the consistency
exemption.
Is good. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it contributes to the school board.
I don't
board.
Understand it. But I respect
85% of the county budget or something like that is law enforcement. I mean, it's I contribute to the school board. I contribute to law enforcement. I believe that I am living in the greatest country on earth and in a very generous community because the government is willing to enforce my right to my land and to keep my son and I safe. So I'm not gonna exempt myself from a system that provides for me in that way.
It's the first time I've ever heard somebody actually make an argument for why a progressive tax makes sense. It's not a progressive in the sense it's a higher rate,
right.
But it is a flat rate based on the volume of protection
that
you get.
But I think a flat rate, no matter what it is great. I think that, I don't, I think you maybe call it a progressive tax, but
well, it's in the sense that some people pay more because they have more. And Josh is saying what you're paying rent for is police protection, legal protection.
Let's go flat tax and everybody pays 10%. Let's go.
Oh, no, I'm totally on board with that as well. I don't think Josh will.
90 seconds. That is regressive. You said that's progressive? That's a regressive tax.
No, that would be a flat tax. It's defined as regressive because poor people disproportionately pay for consumption. Therefore, it winds up being regressive. Yes. But then there's no tax that's flat on that definition. That's the problem with calling it regressive, I think.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Because then you'd have to... I mean, you'd have to come up with some system that's neither a true progressive nor a flat in order somewhere in between would kind of fall at the range where we would be willing to call
it
flat.
You'd have to come up with some, like, marginal tax.
Like income-based tax.
I don't know, sales tax, we have to file every year or something. Yeah.
So I don't go for that.
That's
but anyway.
Just go flat tax. Just everybody gets the same.
So, but I like it. I don't mind being pushed to think about that. I like it. I don't agree, but, you know.
You take your exemption?
Do I? Oh, 100%.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I just think
I hate property taxes. I despise them.
Well, but I love law enforcement. You don't want them to have higher.
I wouldn't mind paying a per person fee for law enforcement. That wouldn't bother me at all.
I think there was somebody that said no property taxes for 25 to 35. I don't know where that came from. I just remember hearing about it, and I was like, okay, because originally older folks. No property tax. Now it's like, hey, let's not do it for younger folks so they can buy a house.
Well, Josh, I assume Josh's position would mean, and he said, I think, that he hates the exemptions for people in various categories because if they're getting the benefit, they should have to pay the fee.
That's right.
I can understand that position.
All right.
I'm still going to file.
I win the argument.
No, you don't win.
Argos broke ground this week. That was a good bit of news for a larger stadium about a sport that Josh doesn't care about.
Go to UWF.
Thanks for the participation. Josh Newby and Craig Heinzman. We'll see you on Monday.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. News Radio.